1 Samuel 24 and verse 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the story, Saul was hounding and pursuing David with the intent to kill him. Saul was. And here they end up in the same cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe, privily. Verse 5. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. David's heart smote him. He just snipped off the corner of Saul's robe. Whatever was happening to David, what was it inside that just, Did you ever have that happen to you? When something just grabbed you and you knew instantaneously it is wrong? The New Testament, Acts chapter 24. And the Apostle Paul was having an audience with Felix. And verse 16. Paul is speaking to Felix, explaining what he's been up to and how God has worked in his life. Verse 16, and he says to Felix, And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. And Paul goes on, he's saying, I work hard, Felix, at having a clean and a clear conscience before God and before men. And as Paul preached the gospel to Felix, know what happened to Felix? Look at verse 25. And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. The word of God activated the conscience within a very wicked man called Felix. And he trembled as the word of God was preached. And that conscience that was so insensitized to sin, all of a sudden, under the preaching of the word of God from the Apostle Paul, that conscience inside is stimulated. And so I just want to speak for a few minutes this evening about cultivating a tender conscience. Now, a conscience is something that everyone in this room tonight, we all have it, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. It pertains to all, but my opening remarks really are geared for believers, those who are already saved and know Christ personally as their Savior. The situation here is David, he's hunted and he's hounded by King Saul, and there's been many attempts on David's life, and Saul has turned his back on the Lord. David was completely innocent, and God had promised David the throne, but King Saul was adamantly fighting against David. And so David and his men, they take refuge in this deep cave in the hillside. And King Saul and his men, they step inside this very same cave. And Saul goes fast asleep, and David's advisors say, David, it's right here in the palm of your hand. Go for it. This man who has been hounding you and harassing you and attempting to take your life, he's right there before you. Go for it. You have that javelin. You have the knife. And sure enough, the opportunity was there. And you know, we read the story, and as you read the account, you could almost justify David putting an end to this opponent that was just harassing him to such a dark and evil extent. You could say, well, he had it coming to him. He got what he deserved if David actually had taken that knife and plunged it into King Saul. And so here is David with his knife, and he has walked over to King Saul, and he kneels down with his knife. What are you going to do, David? What are you going to do? Life and death in your hands. It's a moment. Come on, David. Go for it. What are you going to do? And there will be times in our Christian experience when the pressure will be on. What are you going to do? And here is David with a knife. Are you going to plunge it into his abdomen? Are you going to do something else with it? And David goes, lifts up the corner of Saul's robe. And I think I hear David's men go, oh, can you believe it? Here he is snipping off the corner of his robe. Pathetic. What a wimp. Look at, that's all he did to him. But the moment David took that piece of robe off King Saul, the Bible says, his heart smote him. And he thought, I shouldn't have done that. I should never have done anything that could ever be even construed as threatening or an action against the Lord's anointed. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm sure David's men would have said, David, what are you going on about moaning and groaning? Why are you grabbing your chest? Why are you apologizing? Why are you lamenting? You're crazy, man. I can't believe it. Don't you understand? Wow, this is your enemy. You could have brought peace for yourself. You could have restored the nation to the Lord. What's wrong with your thinking, David? But David's heart smote him. I've had experiences in my life like that, when my heart smote me. Have you ever had that? Do you ever wonder what that was? Inside? Where did that thing come from? That said, wrong. Let down feeling with yourself. A sickening feeling inside. A sense that you've made the wrong choice. Did the wrong thing. Went to the wrong place. Said the wrong words. Should never have come out of my mouth. Oh, I vowed the last time I lost my cool that I would never clench my fist and pound it on the tabletop like that again. And I did it. Oh. You have this yucky feeling inside that you've messed up. You know, we share with other living creatures some senses like sight and smell, hearing, taste, touch. But we have one sense that is unique to human beings, that the little chimpanzee, the huge hippopotamus doesn't have. It's an invisible instrument inside us. And I don't think any biologist has ever been able to see it. It is called the conscience. The conscience. And I just want to share some things about your conscience, because people have some misconceptions about your conscience and my conscience, our conscience. Some misconceptions. You want to know how it works? Your conscience, that little thing inside. Ah! Oh! I did it again! Smarten up, Peter! You want to know how that thing works inside you? You know, a robust, regulated conscience is critical to my success and my survival as a believer. That word conscience, there's others here much more capable than I am that could tell you what the word conscience means. But as I understand it, a Greek word is found. It's found more than 30 times in the New Testament. And it sort of means like co-knowledge. Knowledge together with what? Knowledge together with God. It's God's deputy insight. And I know it could mean togetherness with our heritage, our traditions, our conditioning. But above all, it was meant by God to be a regulating instrument inside us, to be calibrated to God Himself and God's desires and the Word of God. Conscience is that human faculty that judges my actions and my thoughts by the light of the highest standard that I perceive. That's important to understand. Don't mistake your conscience as the voice of God speaking inside you, or the law of God. Your conscience is your own inner voice. It's an internal faculty. It is a mechanism. It's an instrument. It's a sense built right into you. It's made to be calibrated with God's standard. See, our conscience has at least four roles to play. Four roles my conscience plays. Number one, it acts as a witness. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. He says, I am telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. My conscience is a witness inside me as to what I have done. It's a witness. Number two, my conscience acts as a judge. It passes sentence on what I have done, whether it's good or evil or bad. Three, it executes the sentence. It not only acts as a judge, but it executes the sentence. It leaves me either with guilt and uneasiness, or with satisfaction and approval. You did the right thing that time, Peter. Good boy. Don't get proud. You did the right thing, though. So it passes sentence. And finally, it archives. It archives. It archives our past. And there is no computer program, no software you can get to delete your files. It archives. And in a flash, it can retrieve a buried sin from 15 years ago. Something that I did wrong. And with all the busyness of life and all the things of water under the bridge, in a flash of a second, God at work with that inner deputy in my soul, in my heart, can bring that back in a moment. It archives my past. And the Apostle Paul spoke frequently about our conscience. And it was on his mind when he spoke to Governor Felix. He said, Felix, you know, now that I'm in Christ, a Christian, it's something every day that I'm aware of. I don't want to do anything that will bring reproach on the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. And I am very aware of how easy it is to do wrong. And so daily, he says, I have always a conscience void of offense, first of all towards God. God, I can lay my head on my pillow tonight and the sky is clear overhead. Sins are confessed. I'm transparent in thy presence. A conscience void of offense toward God, but also towards human beings. Clear conscience. And so that's what he had in mind when he was standing before Felix. 24/7, I'm very conscious. Every person I meet, no matter who it is, I want my conscience to be clear to the greatest extent possible. I want to be inside at peace, knowing that what I've done is right on all occasions, at every level, in private and in public. And so that's what I mean, Felix, when I say I work hard at keeping that conscience clear and clean. Now, how is your conscience tonight? How much are you working at making sure your conscience is calibrated to the Word of God? Is your conscience clear and clean, or do you have something niggling inside? Something that hasn't been made right and it's bothering you. And while you take your Anacin and your Excedrin and all of those things, really, maybe the root cause is something down inside that hasn't been made right and you're bothered by it. You say, well, pardon me, doesn't it all just work for itself? And isn't my conscience just my guide? Let your conscience be your guide. People say, well, I don't have a conscience against that. Sorry, that doesn't mean it's okay just because you don't have a conscience against it. And see, that's one of the misconceptions about our conscience. Because I sit here and I say, well, I can't believe that you'd be worried about that. My conscience doesn't bother me at all when I do that. Does that mean you're in the clear then? No. See, our conscience is a highly sophisticated instrument that needs to be regulated and calibrated constantly. It is not a self-adjusting instrument. It's not a self-correcting thing. Your conscience is not a standard that you live by. You live by the Word of God, not by your conscience. Because if your conscience is out of line with the Word of God, there is no telling what you will allow in your life. See, your conscience is an alarm that rings before you do something, and during, and after you violate something that you believe to be right, and you believe to be good. That's all the conscience is. The conscience role is to tell you when you have deviated from some standard that you have held up to that point in time. That's your conscience role. If your conscience doesn't bother you, are you okay? Absolutely not. Just because your conscience doesn't bother you. I'm going to give you four or five things about the conscience and then I'll be finished. Everyone has a conscience. That's one of the great silencers of atheists. The built-in faculty in all human beings in every culture to sense good and evil. The Bible calls it conscience. And in Romans chapter 2, speaking about the Jews, and then it goes on about the Gentiles. Paul is writing, he says, while their conscience, the Gentiles, also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. But he's saying even the Gentiles, the nations, not just the Jews who have the law of God, but the nations all around you, they have a conscience too. So everyone has a conscience. Everyone. Number two, your conscience is not necessarily a good guide. My conscience is not infallible. It's not always right. It's not a source of revelation as to what is right and what is wrong. My conscience doesn't do that. Its role is not to teach me what is morally or ethically or spiritually right. It's not that. Really what the conscience is an accountability instrument inside that holds me to the very highest standard that I currently believe to be right. Or wrong, I guess, based on what I have learned or let go up until now. So it's an accountability instrument that holds me to the highest standard that I believe to be right or wrong at this juncture in my life. And that's when the alarm bell goes off. My conscience is only as effective to the degree to which it is indexed or regulated to this holy book. The standards of the Bible, they aren't affected by popular opinion, trends, by what the majority think. My conscience could be. If I'm not reading my Bible, I could live in Winnipeg, I could go to school, I'd mix with friends and say, man, my thinking was old-fashioned. I mean, everybody else is doing it. It must be okay. So I'm going to start doing it, but if I cross another boundary, another threshold, then my conscience will go off. No, the world around me is not the standard. My conscience is to be regulated to the Word of God, indexed to the Bible. So my conscience is not necessarily a good guide. It's only a good guide insofar as it's regulated to the truth of God. Number three, it is a daily activity. Your conscience has to be regulated by the Word of God. The Bible is our only source of light. Saved and unsaved, our conscience, if it's not regulated to the only source of light, then there is really no telling what we will allow into our lives. Traditions, truth, yes, they can inform our conscience. Paul writes about that. You know, the more the Apostle Paul understood the Word of God, and the more intimate he became with his Savior and Lord, the more sensitive he became to what was right and wrong. That's the way it works for all of us. The more we get to know him, the more I will be aware in my life what is good and acceptable and what is right, what is wrong. And so Paul had to get it for himself. He discovered on the matter of traditions, he discovered that meat commendeth us not to God, and that if he ate a certain kind of meat or didn't eat it, he wasn't going to be better or worse. No, he was enlightened by the Word of God. Those were traditions. But the Word of God had the final say in Paul's life. And so you see Paul and his life is being regulated and his conscience is being indexed by and to the Word of God. So that's essential. You know, you could have a very active conscience and you could be suffering from a lot of guilt feelings for non-biblical reasons. Just misunderstandings. You're not taught in the Scriptures. And because you've been taught that this is right and this is wrong and these are the traditions, you could have a very sensitive conscience and always be drooping your head in guilt because your conscience perceives that to be the standard. So your conscience could be way off track when it, if I'm not indexed to the Word of God, the Word of God, that is absolutely essential. Must be indexed and calibrated to the Word of God. And number four, it requires constant attention. The wise Christian wants to master biblical truth so that the conscience is completely informed. That's why it's important for you to read your Bibles every day and to find things and enjoy truth for yourself and let it soak into your soul and make it your own. And that is when your conscience will be calibrated to the Word of God. There's a peril of violating your conscience. If you ignore the warning signals, the uneasiness produced by your conscience, and you persistently engage in certain activities, travel down certain paths, there's no telling where you will end up, where I will end up, if I continue to ignore the signals of my conscience. You know, I've told this story before, but in 1984, there was an airline, a jet crash in Spain. Avianca airline jet crashed in Spain, and it was quite a tragedy. The investigators studied the accident. They made a very eerie discovery. The black box, the cockpit recorders revealed that several minutes before the impact, that crash took place, there was a shrill, computer-synthesized voice from the plane's automatic warning system that told the crew repeatedly in English, pull up, pull up, pull up. Actually, it's called the ground. I wrote it down. The ground proximity warning system. And here's what it says. Terrain, the first warning is terrain, terrain. You're too close to the terrain, too close to the ground, too close to earth, too close to the world. Terrain, terrain, pull up, pull up. The second warning that comes on in the cockpit is too low. And the third warning, even today, if something was to happen, here's a third warning that comes in the cockpit. Whoops, whoops, pull up, pull up. And four, the catastrophe. Impact occurs with the ground. Is there any Christian here today? And you're too close to the ground, too close to the earth, you're in the danger zone, and that alarm is going off inside. Pull up! Pull up! And then you do something else and it says, too low, don't go there. And then you hear, whoops, whoops. The catastrophe is about to happen. Do you know what they found in that cockpit? When that synthesized voice went on, pull up, pull up. You know what the pilot shouted back? Shut up, gringo. And he shut the system off, the warning system, and crashed. Ever feel like shutting off your conscience? Are you in danger of crashing? A little voice inside, as you read your Bible, as you come to a Bible conference, it's saying, terrain, terrain, too close to the world. Pull up, pull up. That's your conscience speaking. You know, I will end with this. There are three stages when that alarm goes off. Before a contemplated action is begun, your conscience will attempt to tell you, Peter, Peter, don't do it. And the battle is raging within. Do you know what I'm talking about? That battle is raging within. It's a battle of the mind, the voice of the conscience. It's there, but it may be overpowered by what your friends are saying or by some fleshly urge inside, your impulses, your desires that you've been feeding recently. And there's a battle raging within purity, morality, honesty. And your conscience is saying, don't do it, don't do it. So your alarm is sounding before the contemplated action. And number two, during the action, the conscience is at the very weakest point then. The alarm, wrong, wrong. But it's very weak. Because of the strength of the desire to do whatever you've chosen to do. Once you've gone down that road, once you've started, the act of wrong has begun. Stopping it is extremely difficult once you started it. The time is to nip it in the bud when the alarm goes off beforehand. During the action, there's very little chance of you salvaging it then. Conscience is at the weakest point then. You know when conscience is at the loudest point? It's after the fact. And the fun is over. The deed is done. The rage has been exhausted. The mind has been defiled. The noise of fun and bravery and the clap of your friends and the applause of your friends, that's all subsided and you're left with your sin. Your conscience is at the loudest then. I just want to encourage you this evening, the peace of a clear conscience. We all know the feeling of guilt, terrible weight. There's nothing sweeter than getting into the presence of the Lord, pouring out your heart and saying, I've done wrong. Reading David's psalm of confession, shedding some hot, scalding tears, and making it right with God. It's called restoration, the peace of a clear conscience. John wrote, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. He meant when your conscience is clear, then you can pray and ask for God to continue to work in your life. Just these thoughts on the conscience. We all have a conscience. But your conscience is not a good guide. It's a built-in faculty, a warning system, but it absolutely must be regulated and indexed to the Word of God. Hence, the importance every day of the Word of God in our lives.